Over the last couple of months, we've heard so many stories from survivors of sexual assault. We've heard about it happening in our parliament, in offices, in our school communities, and in homes. And many young men have been texting in to Hack. They've had a moment of truth that they've sexually assaulted someone. It's been pretty confronting to read. Hello, Avani Dias here. And on this episode of Hack, we've got a special. Why do some young men think it's okay to force people to have sex? How do we teach them about consent? And how can we talk meaningfully to our male friends about this?
Hack.
Looking back now, she was 100% fair. She was, like, really hesitant.
On Triple J.
This movement around sexual assault and all the conversations we've been having has forced us all to reflect on our own experiences. A lot of people are realizing for the first time they've actually been assaulted in their lives. And a lot of guys have reached out to us and said, yeah, they've now realized they've abused someone. We're about to hear from some of them. And I want to be clear from the outset, we do not think these men are victims. What they've done is not okay. But we do want to find out why men are only coming to this realization now. We're focusing on men specifically today because in 97% of sexual assault cases reported to police, the offender is a man. A warning, there will be some descriptions of abuse coming up. Dee Salmon has this story.
We put a movie on and then we started like kissing on the couch and like sort of trying to keep putting my hand out her pants. She kept saying, no, I don't feel well.
Marcus was 17 when he went to a girl's house to hang out and watch a movie. They didn't talk about it, but he thought he was going over there to have sex. And he told me he wasn't going to leave until he got laid.
This is my goal. We're having sex, whether you like it or not. Eventually, I sort of persuaded her to give me a wristy, basically. Pretty much after that was finished, I literally just left.
The reason I'm talking to Marcus about this is because he sent us a DM on Instagram. He said that after listening to the show the past few weeks, he realised that in that moment 5 years ago, he didn't just get some. He actually sexually assaulted someone.
Looking back now, she was 100% fear. Like, she was, like, really hesitant to do anything, like, except kiss. I sort of went in a downward spiral of, I guess, depression. Like, I can't believe I've done this. I've got to do something to make it right.
Marcus reached out to the woman and sent her a message.
I found her on Facebook and sent her a big, like, long paragraph about why I was sorry. And she forgave me, but I feel like she was still angry at me about what happened. The fact that a small fraction of time hurts a victim for months and possibly years, even the rest of their life even as well. And the fact that I did that in 30 minutes is just disgusting.
Now, I want to make this very clear. Experts have done so much research here, and an apology doesn't just make it all okay. There's no excuse for sexually assaulting someone. And if you're a survivor listening, hearing from guys like Marcus might make you angry. You know how huge the impact is. You live with the repercussions every day. So why is it so hard for perpetrators to realise this? Why don't guys like Marcus think about that at the time? He says movies like American Pie taught him that that kind of sex was normal.
I never had a father figure in my life, so I sort of leaned on the film industry to sort of go, what does it mean to be a man? Okay, I can get laid. That's easy.
Marcus also said that he'd never learnt anything about consent until listening to Hack, where he heard someone say that being out of consent isn't just someone saying no.
My sexual ed went as far as putting a condom on a banana. They need to teach how to pick up on physical cues and words that aren't the word no, but they mean the same thing.
I pressured him because I convinced him to let's go for a little bit longer sort of thing.
1 in 5 women have been sexually assaulted, but so have 1 in 20 men.
It was just me being a selfish dick, really.
Sam from Victoria reached out to us because, like Marcus, he didn't know that consent was an ongoing thing during sex and can be taken away at any time.
When I think back to it now, he seemed apprehensive and he seemed nervous.
Sam told me about 2 specific instances where he pressured guys to keep going during sex. He said he didn't realise he was doing anything wrong until the second guy actually straight up told him, hey, what you did wasn't okay.
And because of that, he didn't feel comfortable actually being with me again.
It forced him to do a lot of self-reflecting, and he ended up apologising to both guys.
That I had screwed up, that I had made a mistake, that I was just in the wrong.
5,000 young people have come out this year saying they've been sexually assaulted by a schoolmate. So there's a push for more consent education at schools. Sam says he didn't learn any of it at his Catholic school.
I didn't learn anything about sexual health. I didn't learn anything about consent.
I think there's a lot of issues around the perception that because people start making out, it's then okay.
Dr. Silky Meyer is an associate professor in criminology and researches how to hold abusers to account. She says, according to a national survey, 1 in 8 young men still believe that women who say no really mean yes.
Young men in particular that believe that there's certain boundaries that can be crossed when you can justify it within the situation or circumstances.
So she says, as well as consent education in schools, there needs to be a huge change with men's attitudes towards women and sex. And something that might help with that is hearing men reflect on their past sexual experiences, but only if it's coming from a place of genuine remorse and accountability.
I think it's more impactful to hear from somebody using violence, including sexual violence, who really has the moment of going, that's what I did, was not okay, and here's the impact this has had on someone else.
She says the same thing goes if you decide to apologise. It needs to be genuine. Don't victim blame or minimise or deny what happened. And make sure the person is actually okay with receiving your apology.
You know, there will be survivors that are not in a position or too traumatised or too victimised to hear an apology.
Dr. Meyer also says that just saying sorry and leaving it at that isn't enough.
Every single male out there has a big role to play in holding other people to account.
And that's something that both Marcus and Sam spoke to me about. One of the main reasons why they got in contact was because they hoped that by coming forward and taking ownership over what they'd done and acknowledging the impact that they've had on survivors, they might help other guys reflect on their own sexual experiences and realise that they might need to do the same.
Pick up on people's emotions. Understand that what you're doing may seem right at the time. Think about how it's going to impact somebody even next week.
Hack on Triple J.
Dee Salmon with that story. Some pretty intense stories there as well. Call 1-800-RESPECT if you do want support. Or if you want counselling and you're a man, Men's Line is available. It's on 1-800-041-612. I'd love to hear from you though. Text in. How have you reflected on this movement against sexual assault? Has it made you question your own behaviour? 0439 757 555. Let's speak to someone who works with young men directly, including those who have abused people. Martin Finsk is from Men's Link. Thanks for joining us on Hack. What would you say to some of those guys who've come to this realisation now that they've sexually abused someone?
As the piece said, you know, there's a lot of shame around that with young guys and older guys coming to that realisation. But it is a really good thing that they are having that realisation. These conversations we're having are way overdue. I was listening to one of the young guys on your program just earlier, you know, saying, I had no idea. I had no education about this at school. And one of the things I worry about, even in 2021, is that there aren't the positive parental conversations. We still have sex education at school, which is really about the biomechanics. It's not really about things yet around consent, around emotions, around the emotional wonderment of sex, but also the emotional damage that can happen if it's not done the right way. And overriding all of this environment is the near saturation point of online porn. We know that something like 84% of all online porn shows aggressive and in some cases violent sex, non-consensual sex really, primarily against women. And the thing that worries me about the messages that young guys and frankly young girls are getting out of pornography is there's no discussion about consent.
Martin, it is interesting, you know, we heard from some of those young men coming to those realizations and they're saying, look, I want to do better in the future. I'm going to change my behavior going forward. But how hard is it to actually do that in the heat of the moment when there is a sexual encounter happening?
That's the other thing I think that we need to get much better at education. It's all very well sitting in a classroom chair by yourself and learning about consent and things like that and going, oh, okay, well, logically I could do this or do that. But in the heat of the moment, it's different. And unless we as educators really talk about that and acknowledge that, and particularly we talk about or we need to talk about, you know, consent is not just a single yes or no at a single point in time. It's a spectrum. It's yes or no to moving, you know, to a different stage. It's yes or no to a particular act. And it can be, you know, a yes 30 seconds ago could be, no, actually that hurts, or yeah, no, I'm uncomfortable.
Man,
and I think the message I want to give to young guys is that stopping will not hurt you in any way, but keeping going without enthusiastic consent can really hurt the other person.
Definitely. And Martin, just quickly, I mean, when you work with men who have abused someone in the past, are they responsive to you when you're supporting them and helping them through that?
I think generally they are. I think, you know, there can be a lot of shame, but, you know, collectively we can use that shame to do some good. But I think for younger and older guys, you know, there's can sometimes, as some of your earlier speakers mentioned, there's a risk sometimes with apologies. You know, you don't want to seek somebody out necessarily and apologise because that could re-traumatise them.
Yeah, we just heard that from several of the experts that we just spoke to as well. Martin Fisk from Men's Link, thank you so much for joining us on the show. Let's go to Ethan because he is a Gurindji man and he is a counsellor for young First Nations men at the Glen on the New South Wales coast. One thing we know is that depending on your community and your background, sexual assault can affect you in different ways. And although non-Indigenous men are more likely to be perpetrators of abuse than Indigenous men, it still happens across the board. Ethan, thanks for your time. What are some of the extra challenges you see that First Nations men face in this situation?
How you going? Thanks for having me. Yeah, I suppose the guys I deal with, the First Nations guys here, you know, starts from the intergenerational trauma and the you know, from colonisation. But yeah, we deal with men here. 30 to 40% of them have been around sexual assault themselves, and we do our best to we have yarn around the fire and have honest conversations. So yeah.
Yeah, and Ethan, how do you support men coming to you in those situations to make them move forward with their lives but acknowledge that some of their behaviour may not be correct or what they've gone through hasn't been great either?
Yeah, so we have we've got men's behaviour groups here, we've got DV groups, we've got therapists. So we create a safe place for all men here to speak about their problems, whether they're perpetrator or the victim. We create that safe place for them to have an open and honest conversation about, you know, the stuff that they've been bottling up for years and years.
For sure. Ethan is from the Glen, which is a men's counselling service for First Nations men. Appreciate you coming on the show.
Hack.
This is not solely an issue of protecting women, but an issue of educating men. Stop being boys. Be human.
On Triple J.
This is Hack on Triple J, and one thing we heard from those men who came forward saying they've assaulted someone is that they didn't learn about consent at school. We just heard Martin referring to that a lot as well. And there's been this big push now that more than 5,000 young people have come forward with their stories of abuse at the hands of a schoolmate. So how do we teach young men to be better without isolating them and making them feel attacked? Anna Levy has this story.
Bags on the side, boys.
I'm at a public high school just outside Brisbane. A group of Year 10 boys are sitting in a circle and they're all listening to this guy, Andrew.
So, as always, boys, we do a check-in. So, how are you feeling out of five? One is you're not feeling that good. Three, you're okay. Five, you're feeling pretty good. I'm feeling a five. It's always good to see you boys, honestly.
He really does look happy to see these boys. So do the other members of the team. They're all young people. Some are just out of school themselves, and you can see how passionate they are. In sessions like these, they hang out with the students and play icebreaker games. Everyone laughs a lot. But around all that, there's something bigger going on.
Anyone remember what accountability is? Nate?
The program's called Men for Respect, and it teaches young men about things like sexual assault and consent.
When we first started in 2019, the program aimed to redefine masculinity, so redefine what it means to be a man and what that looks like. But now what we're seeing is it's not really redefining, it's more reclaiming. We had a young guy tell me a couple of weeks ago that he said that he felt to survive high school, to survive his teen years, he had to be the opposite of a respectful young man. So if we can all work together and help empower and build each other up, that we can have hopefully change that culture within men.
That's a big part of what Andrew's trying to do here. He's trying to get rid of some of the standard things we grow up learning about how men should behave.
A few of the views, the toxic views of being a man is not showing emotion or not crying, or you have to be a fighter, or you can't back down from a fight. But what we're trying to show them is you can be a fighter and stand up for what's right, and you can fight for what's positive and what's healthy.
Andrew's brought Vinda, a new guy, along with him in the team to help teach the class.
Preventing rather than curing, that's what got me, rather than just, you know, waiting until they're adults and then sorting it out there, going to the root of it, you know, going to when there's just kids.
Vinda wants to give young people the knowledge he didn't have growing up.
I knew from a young age, at 11 years old, that, okay, you know, my father's not in the picture, like, what does a man do? And then the only thing that like I knew was what are men not supposed to do, like just from witnessing like how my father would treat my mum and treat myself, you know, growing up. And that's all I can hope for is that with our experiences, you know, and helping them, that they can make their own decisions to see, you know, what's right from wrong. And yeah, just pretty much just hoping that they do become better men themselves.
This is just one program, but it's part of a huge conversation that's going on around the country about how consent is taught to young people at school.
This is not solely an issue of protecting women, but an issue of educating men. Stop being boys, be human.
Mason Black is the school captain at a private school, Brisbane Boys College, and this speech he made went viral.
We have to be proactive in stopping the abuse. This starts with putting an end to slurs and derogatory comments about women. It means standing up to any man, no matter how big they are, if we see it happening. And we have to keep our mates accountable.
Because of all the stories of sexual assault that have come out this year, the federal government has promised to roll out more resources for a national education program called Respect Matters. But only 18% of the $1.6 million the government has set aside for it has actually been spent, even though the deadline's coming up in June. And that's got Green Senator Maureen Faruqi pretty fired up.
Whose fault is it that it's taken 6 years and that program still hasn't been delivered? The resources on consent and respectful relationships still haven't been fully delivered to students under this program.
Meanwhile, Victoria's just announced it'll make consent education mandatory in public schools. And other states are talking about doing similar things. Plus, the Queensland government's reviewing sex ed, because it's not actually compulsory in private or public schools in the state. Mason told Hack he wrote this speech because he didn't think the boys at school really understood how close to home all this stuff is.
For me, I had so many friends reach out and loved ones that I never thought that this had happened to. And it's a really heartbreaking conversation to have. So I wanted to make the boys aware of what could potentially be going on with some of their closest friends and family.
He thinks the change has to come from young people.
Well, it all starts from those small conversations that we have with each other. And it needs to start with both the boys and the girls really coming together and speaking with one voice.
Hack on Triple J.
Some strong words there. Anna Levy reporting a lot of people getting in touch. Someone texted, of course schools have a role to play in educating young people about relationships and sex, but it's important that this education starts at home as well. Another texter, such an important issue that needs to be addressed. I've experienced a sexual assault a few weeks ago. Hopefully with more education, incidents like this will begin to decrease this situation significantly. Yeah, don't forget, if you do need support, 1-800 Respect is there. And let's talk about how we sort of learn how to be men and how that affects us all in day-to-day life. Michael Flood researches masculinity and men at the Queensland Uni of Technology. Thank you for your time, Michael. Let's start right at the beginning when we're little kids. How do we get taught how to be our particular genders and learn how to be men? It was interesting hearing from one guy earlier in the show who said, you know, I learned about sex from American Pie.
Look, that's right. And I think if we look at, you know, how boys are socialized and the kind of media that boys and young men often see, whether that's, you know, movies or TV or porn, boys and young men do often learn some really dangerous things. We learn, for example, that, you know, girls and women are only sexual objects and we, you know, we kind of have a right of access to their bodies, that girls owe us sex. We learn that boys and men have uncontrollable sexual desires and we can't stop ourselves when we're aroused. So, for example, among 16 to 24-year-olds, 29% of young men think that rape results from men not being able to control their need for sex. Some of us learn that males should be dominant in relationships and in families. And again, among young men, 22% of young men agree men should take control in relationships and be the head of the household. So while these aren't majority views, a significant number, you know, one quarter, one third of young men 16 to 24 agree with exactly the kind of beliefs that feed into a willingness to pressure or coerce a girl into sex.
And then how does that turn into all of the abuse that we're continuing to see every day among the broader population?
Look, very straightforwardly, and, you know, I should emphasise most young men treat girls and women with respect. Most young men, you know, don't pressure or coerce girls and women into sex, but we know that a significant minority do, and it's not 0.1%. It's more likely to be anywhere from 5 to 30%, depending on how you measure their use of sexual violence. So it's a significant minority of young men. And those young men are playing out some beliefs which are pretty common in our culture, unfortunately. A belief in male sexual entitlement, a belief in an uncontrollable male sex drive, a kind of privileging of male sexual pleasure. And if you, I mean, it's really horrible to do, but if you read the stories of sexual coercion and assault that Chanel Contos compiled in that Sydney Schools petition, they're routine stories of boys and men putting their own sexual desires and their own sexual pleasure ahead of girls and young women's and being willing to pressure or coerce those girls and women into sex.
Greg in Melbourne's texted, I grew up with the go with the flow perspective. I had no idea that the freeze response even existed, so a no would never even eventuate. Michael, it's interesting, you know, we've grown up for so many years with these ideas around us and men learn these things for so long. How do you then start to acknowledge your own behaviour and then move forward by being better and sort of unlearning some of that stuff that we've been brought up with?
Yeah, that's a great question. Just to come back to that comment from, I think it was Greg, another thing I should mention is, yeah, often the way we learn to do consent is in terms of a negative standard of consent. We learn, you know, guys learn you keep going unless she's actively pushing you away or crying. And of course, some guys are willing to keep going in that circumstance. We learn a kind of negative standard rather than an affirmative standard of consent, a positive or an enthusiastic standard, where you're really at every single stage of what you're doing with that girl or that guy, checking out whether it's okay with them and verbally, explicitly asking, is this okay? Can I do that? You know, a very kind of explicit process of consent. So in terms of what guys need to do now, you know, I suppose I'm really inspired to hear the stories that you played earlier, that some guys are starting to think about our own behaviour. And that's really where we have to start. We have to start by looking critically at our own treatment of the girls and women in our lives. You know, have I ever pressured someone into sex? How am I making sure that I'm not pressuring the girl or the guy I'm with into sex? And so I think that kind of putting our own house in order has to be where we start. And then the second thing to do is to start speaking up. You know, challenge mates who say some women ask for it, or yeah, she was really, really drunk, she could barely stand, but you know, I went ahead anyway. Or, you know, challenge the kind of everyday forms of entitlement and sexism that feed into some guys' sexual violence.
Michael, it's interesting, anytime we confront or discuss these issues, we get so many messages from people who say, well, you know, not all men, not every man is like that. And certainly that's the case. We all have amazing men around us in our lives, but there are some who don't know what to do or haven't been taught the right things or who end up abusers for various different reasons. How do we sort of deal with those men without blaming them or making them feel like a massive problem? Because that's a big thing, right? We're isolating a lot of young men who feel they're being attacked now with all these conversations coming at us.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, it's not all men. And, you know, nobody thinks it's all men. It, you know, every single woman recognises that it's not all men, that there are lovely men, there are good men, and so on. The problem is it can be very hard to tell the difference between the guy who's going to respect your wishes and seek consent and the guy who won't. And the problem, you know, the problem really is that some men's behaviour, a minority of men's behaviour, gives all of us a bad name, makes all of us seem a threat, makes it entirely understandable that girls and women are cautious or nervous about men and, you know, manage their behaviour accordingly. That's entirely sensible reaction to the fact that some men do this. So rather than saying not all men, which everybody knows, we need to think about what are we doing to make a difference? What are we doing to make it less likely that we're seen as a threat or that we're coercing or pressuring a girl into sex? And what are we doing to challenge the guys around us to actually speak up? Because lots of guys think, yeah, rape is terrible, sexual assault is terrible, but we don't do anything. We don't do anything when we realise a mate is, you know, being kind of sleazy with some girl at the pub or, you know, someone on the street, or, you know, the way he talks about his girlfriend implies that he's not really checking out whether what he wants to do is what she wants to do. And so rather than saying not all men, take action, speak up, you know, be right on the side of positive change.
All right, Michael Flood from Queensland University of Technology, thanks for your time. And let's get into that exact issue. How do you have those conversations?
Hack. I didn't learn anything about consent.
On Triple J.
Yeah, let's get some advice on how to talk to our male friends about this, because a lot of us have grown up thinking this behaviour is okay. Michael was just talking to us about that. And a lot of that happens in our group chats, in our conversations at parties, in social situations. Zach Seidler is a clinical psychologist. He researches men's mental health. Thank you for joining us. How do you call out a male friend who is saying some pretty awful stuff about women or sex or whatever?
Hey, Avani. Great to be here. Yeah, it's a tough one. It's a tightrope of sorts, and it's really important that we understand that calling this stuff out doesn't always lead to the best outcome. So we need to be pretty clear about the way that we're going to go about it. So it seems grey in the abstract, but it really becomes black and white when you start to talk about it. These conversations have been happening between women for way too long. Some men have been speaking with women about this stuff for quite a while in silos, but it's about time that men call on one another and rely on mateship, which is so awesome. So let's use it for good, for insight and reflection, and understand that you can use a tone that you use in your everyday conversations. You can approach these guys in a way that makes sense. It shouldn't come out of the blue. It shouldn't be a really, you know, awkward, uncomfortable conversation. It should be something that really takes on the tone of your everyday chats with these guys and tries to embed it in your mateship.
Zach, it is hard though, isn't it? Because, you know, it's all well and good to say that you'll call something out, but when it actually comes to that situation, it can be pretty tough to be the one that speaks out. How do you sort of get that courage to do it in that situation?
I think guys need to know that a little anxiety and stress is okay in this situation. It's not something to repel away from, instead leaning into it and embracing the discomfort a bit and realizing that, you know, nice guys always finish first. That's the new mantra that we're trying to espouse here. And so dispelling shame, silence and stigma, and not only just talking, but doing, being the role model and watching your friends watch you so that you are the one who is powerful and strong in his virtues of respect and dignity.
All right, Zach Seidler with some pretty topical and important advice there. He is a clinical psychologist. Thanks for coming on the show. And yeah, the text line has been going off today. Someone's texted, "I'm just coming to realize that I sexually assaulted someone I was dating." Dylan from Bendigo says, "There's so much we don't learn at school, but you can't blame just a lack of a conscience on a lack of education." Hey, some pretty full-on stuff in that show. 1-800-RESPECT if you need support. I'll see you tomorrow.
Hack on Triple J.
That's all we've got time for on this episode. I'll catch you on the next one.